So a CASPER is really a sampling methodology used to quickly assess community needs. It's designed to be efficiently and effectively and rapidly deployed. Health status can be determined based on community needs from those issues. And the nice thing is a sampling methodology allows you to look at the whole population of your defined area. And it can be used for community health assessment. It uses a two-stage cluster design based on the World Health Organization's technique for estimating vaccine coverage during smallpox eradication. Usually it's 30 clusters with 7 household interviews for a total of trying to get N of 210. And once again, those population needs can be estimated from the sample, and they're usually within 10%. So the first stage is really these clusters. It's based on census, and it's a random population-weighted selection of 30 blocks. And the caveat is they have to have at least 7 housing units, and this is done with ArcGIS. The problem in rural areas and rural states like Montana, most counties have census blocks with 0 to 6 housing units than they have of the 7. So you have to work with a GIS person to go in and actually create and logically combine those census blocks so you have at least 7 housing units. And then you do your random weighted sample of those. And then the second stage is where your teams go out in the field and they're the ones actually selecting and doing those 7 household interviews. So we've done 3 to date in Montana for community health assessments with 2 more slated, and I just wanted to show that we've done it in areas with as low as 1.5 persons per square mile and as high as 4.7. And the nice thing about this technique, there's some very tangible results when you're doing community health assessments. The health departments establish a volunteer corps that then can be used for other things if needed. You really get that local level data when otherwise unavailable. We all know the issues with small numbers in our low population states and how do you get meaningful data for that county to use. But there's also some very intangible effects of these. One is that visible presence. So the health department, their hospital, their mental health partners, whoever that might be, are out in the field in their communities. And it's really an eye-opening experience for the stakeholders and the volunteers. They always say, God, I thought I knew my community. And then also, we in our state allow it to be a preparedness deliverable for capacity building with their volunteer workforce. So there's some great successes of this technique. It really does help build those collaborations between public health, primary care, mental health, allows a lot of community engagement. It's always amazing. In the picture, there was 45 volunteers that showed up in one of them that we did to help with this. You get that high-quality local data that is hard in a decentralized state for us to give to some of these smaller population counties. Volunteers really find value. I think in all the places we've done them, there's like 1 or 2 that say, well, maybe. Everybody else is like, yes, I would love to participate in this again. And then as well, people in the communities love the opportunity to give their information back to the health department to hopefully drive health in these communities. There's some lessons learned. Volunteer recruitment takes time. That's probably the most challenging part of this. And no matter what, cluster maps can always be improved. Every time we do this, that's one of the things that comes out, is that how do you get that map that is really readable for somebody who has problems reading maps? So that's one thing we still continually try to improve. Multiple days and multiple times for data collection is best, because you want to get that 80% of that 210. So that might mean evenings, that might mean weekends, and just making sure your volunteers are aware of that. Incentives definitely help. Some of our local health departments have elected to give out $5 gas cards or something, and that really helps survey participants want to participate. And then also effective advertising campaign. It's very important to work with your police department and other partners there to say, okay, there's going to be some people knocking door to door. You see their bright green t-shirts that say, you know, community health assessment or community coalition. They're not really trying to sell something. So it's really important to use the correct advertising campaign to get the message out. And just a couple important tips. It's that recruiting volunteers is challenging, so that's the longest piece. And you really need to train those volunteers critically so they know how to ask the survey, get those questions right, and those sorts of things. The ideal number is under 50, because you don't want to have those surveys go on forever, closed-ended, Likert scale, those work well. And for us in the northern states, summer months are best. In the south, it might be winter months, but make sure it's where your volunteers aren't out there, you know, struggling because of the weather conditions. And then really try to have those teams use evenings and weekends to get those, be able to make sure people are home. And so use it, because it's an alternative to simple, random, and convenient sampling. It's validated for rapid assessments. It's accepted. It engages your community members and stakeholders, creates a volunteer workforce, and can be a preparedness deliverable. Thank you.